Hello, my name is Jeff Parrish. I'm the senior pastor here at Indian Rocks, and I just want to say thank you to you for tuning in today through our live streaming through the internet for our services, and we are glad that you are watching. And I'm going to tell you about a couple of things that we have here at the church. We are very much a purpose-driven church. Why do we exist? The reason we exist is to make disciples, as the scriptures teach us. But we have a thing that's called C4, which lists out the different things that we want to do. C1 is connecting with God, which is part of what the reason that we do this live streaming is to give people the opportunity to find out what the scripture says and what it means to have a relationship with God. It's pretty incredible to think about the relationship, having a relationship with the God who created you. But the second purpose is a place for people to connect with each other. And I can't tell you how important that is, because it's more than just being educated in the scriptures. It's finding a place that you fit, that you connect. We have a lot of small groups and all kinds of different shapes and sizes that reach out to different ages and different stages of life. Now, I'd really encourage you to check into plugging into a small group, because you'll never feel apart until you find a place to fit in. So anyway, thank you for watching today, and I hope to see you soon. All right, if you have a Bible, turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. All right, today it's good to be back with you guys and good to be sharing with you. I have something on my heart that God is, I think God's laid on my heart for us to understand in this whole light series. So I'm looking forward. I'm going to share with you a little bit more about some of the things, what that looks like. But very much looking forward. Very much looking forward to share this with you. Obviously, I had some time off, which was really nice. I was with some family and got to see a couple of my kids who are away now at school. And this past week, and so it was really nice. But it's really nice to be back. You know, as I think about again what we've been talking about in this light series, and what I want to share with you, and what that looks like. The last few weeks, I've been talking to you that if you are a believer today, that remember that He's called us to be a light. As a church, it's who we're supposed to be. It's because it's who He is. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And therefore, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, obviously we have fellowship with one another. And so there's this picture that He's light through us. And so that's what we've talked about over the last few weeks. What does that mean? But I wanted to give you a couple of examples of it. That's what I'm going to do today and next week. And then I've asked Pastor Charlie to do the same thing, which is right down his alley, right? And what does it mean to examples of what it means to be a light? And I'm going to share with you one today, from the scriptures, and a little bit personally, just kind of share with you a little bit of what was it God used to be light in my life personally. You'll see that in just a moment. But so many times one of my greatest passions, desires, is to practically share it with you, so that you not just know what it means, but you know how it fits in personally in your life. And that's going to be none different today in a very simple story that if you've been in church very long, that you've heard this story as a child. This is a favorite
among children, right? And it's a great picture though of something, because it's so easy to overlook so much of the truth that is in this little story. So again, with the thought under the big, still under the big picture of light, and still under thought of a practical look or an example or an illustration of what it means to be light. And remembering all of what light is, it's he is the light. Obviously, he's the light of the world. Then we become the light of the world because he is the light of the world and different things like that. But today I want to talk to you about friends. Friends. And what does it mean to be a friend? And those particular pictures, those particular looks of friends. And it's going to be different than you think it is. A whole lot different than you think when you hear that word. So let's jump right into the passage. And there aren't that many verses, but it'll take us a little time because there's a parallel meaning to this. You know, the great part about this story is I'd like for you to see the physical aspect of what Jesus was doing, but always remember, especially in this particular passage, that there was a spiritual application. And Jesus even points it out here in this story, and we won't get to see that till the very, very end, how he connects the two. But I want you to understand, I want you to go ahead and see it beforehand, and so I'll point it out along the way. And you may think, well, Jeff, aren't you reading something into that? And you won't think that at the very end when Jesus puts the two together. But I kind of want to show you along the way so you can follow along. Okay? Number one, if you want to write down some of the notes that will be today, number one, I'm going to call this malady, okay? A malady. Because of the, we don't know if it was a disease, we don't know if it was an injury, we didn't know, again, but there was a malady here that was going on. All right, and this, let's go ahead and jump into the passage. Mark chapter 2, verse 1, and you can look at the screens if you don't have a copy of the scripture with you. Let's take a look at it. It says, when he returned, that is Jesus, when he returned to Capernaum, okay, after some days, it was reported that he was at home. Now, again, it's just my heartbeat. It's my passion. It's my desire for you to be able to learn what the scripture says. But here's what happens. It is so easy to miss if you just go blowing through verses, right? Just reading them, right? Now, that verse tells you a whole lot of things if you'll just stop. Number one, it says he returned to Capernaum. That means that that's where he's been staying. Number two, it says it was reported that he was at home. So that tells me that Jesus had moved to Capernaum. Again, so you just stop long enough to go, that is what that means, right? And so what happens is Jesus based his ministry, he moved out of Nazareth and moved to Capernaum. Nazareth was just a little town to the northwest of Capernaum. Capernaum was a little town. Yeah, I say a little town. It was a larger town for its time. But I'll share with you a little bit because I don't only want you to know the information. I kind of want you to get the feel of this one. And so Capernaum was a little town on the north end of the Sea of what they call the Sea of Galilee. And that was in the north border of Israel. Jerusalem was in the south. See, so many people think Jesus grew up in Jerusalem. He did not. It was all the north. Okay, it was all up around the Sea of Galilee, around the, really even further north than that, into Nazareth. And so, but this little Capernaum was a fishing town. And most people, I've been to Capernaum several times, or as they call it today over there, Capernaum, all right? And however you pronounce it, it's a little town, and it's not inhabited today. There are just ruins there. But I've been there several times, and from the size of the town, there were probably about 1,000 people living there, probably at most. So again, for the time's sake, that was a large town, but for now, we don't look at that as very big. But Jesus was living there, and it was mainly a fishing village, although there's a lot of olive orchards because they unearthed a whole lot of olive presses and other things there. So you have this little commerce town, and there was a major Roman road probably about 3 miles to the north that ran across the north of the area. And so at Capernaum, there was a garrison sometimes stationed, as you'll see, you know, with some of the different things that, you know, the healing of the centurion servant and other things. So it was a bustling town. There were lots of things going on, but it wasn't like a huge town like some of the others, like Athens or Rome. Okay, so again, I just wanted you to see it. All right, and so what had happened was he'd gotten home, and they'd heard he'd gotten home. And look at verse 2. It says that many were gathered together so that there was no more room, okay? Not even at the door. So they heard he was home, and if you'll find out in just a minute, these were a lot of people who were inside were religious leaders, like scribes and others. And when I say religious leaders, that means that they wanted to check this Jesus out. You know, they'd heard about him, heard what he could do, heard his teaching, wanted to make sure different things, whatever. So they were inside. But then people crowded around, right? There was just this house. There were probably no more than 40 people inside. And then there were people that were crowding all around to hear through the windows and hear through other things. That's kind of the picture here. So it says that many were gathered there, okay, so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching, that is, he was preaching God's word to them. And they came, and then they came, all right, and here's this, bringing to him a paralytic who was carried by four men. And so there was a man who was paralyzed there, and we just don't know much about him. We don't know if his paralysis was caused by a disease. Perhaps his paralysis was caused by an injury. Perhaps he was born this way. We don't know. That's why I just call it a malady. But there's this picture here, okay? There's this picture here that everybody knows why these men are bringing this guy to Jesus. And more than likely, this malady is permanent for their time. But remember this. There's also another meaning here. Jesus will point it out at the end. But let me go ahead and let you in on it, okay? Because this malady here is a picture, a physical. There's a physical picture of this malady, but there's also a spiritual picture of a malady, and the malady is called sin. So those are the pictures between the two, okay? You'll see it in just a minute. Jesus points it out and makes it really clear. And so, again, so in the physical world, you've got a malady that nobody can do anything about but Jesus. So in the spiritual sense, understanding sin is something that we have and that needs payment for, that needs fixing, if you will, that needs healing, however you want to look at it. And so you have the two that are set up and that go parallel together. Okay. So number one is this malady. Number two are friends. You see at the very end in verse 3 and in verse 4, it shows you that this man was carried to Jesus by four friends, obviously. And remember that these four people are carrying him in probably like a litter, an old litter, or if you will, a stretcher, and where they're all carrying one end. But we do know, more than likely, it just makes sense that they'd come from out of town. Because if they were in town, they'd already seen Jesus. So they'd heard about Jesus. Perhaps even one of the friends had seen Jesus. Perhaps they'd heard him teach. Perhaps, we just don't know. But they traveled to get their friend to see Jesus. And so they found out he was there, and so they pull up, and people are crowded all around. But you have then this picture. And again, for those of you who have ears to hear, if not, we'll kind of pull it all together for you again. But I want you to understand, I just find this incredible, if you can make the analogy yourself, is that I want you to think about this. They were carrying him, and perhaps carried him a long way. Perhaps they came by cart, or perhaps they just walked. We just don't know. But it was very important to these four that they get their buddy to see Jesus. But I do find this interesting too, is that this man could not have gotten to Christ on his own. He had to have help. He had to have friends. Guys, this has been part of what this series has been about, right? This is what we've been talking about praying for, those people in our lives that you have been praying for. It's an amazing thing when you see this happen today, all right? And you'll see the parallel. It'll be clear. I just want to just throw a couple things out to you. But the main thing I want you to understand, do you realize that this man could not have gotten to Christ on his own? I just wanted to point that out to you and wanted you to see. because he was paralyzed. But it's the same picture here that he's talking about with the spiritual look. How is it that one gets someone to Christ? How do they bring them, right? Again, I think you'll see, I mean, it happens in many different ways, but I want you to see it in just, we'll put it all together in just a minute. So number one's the malady. We understand that picture. Number two are friends. Our friends. They can't do anything to help their buddy, but Jesus can. So we got to do everything we can do to get him to Jesus. Okay? Number three is people are in the way. All right? People are in the way. And it says there in verse 4, and they could not get near him because of the crowd. So there were so many people around. They'd traveled all this way. They'd gotten here, and now the crowd's in the way. And we can't even get to Jesus, and they won't let us push through. They say, no, you're going to have to wait out here, whatever. And so they could not get there, right? Because people were in the way. You know, it's an incredible thing to me when I think about this, because these friends were determined. You'll see that. That's the next one. But let's not miss this. People were in the way. And I'm here to tell you this. People are always in the way. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? People are always in the way. All right? When I'm on the interstate, people are in the way. But let's not miss the point here, okay? I want you to understand this picture especially, is that a lot of times people are in the way for people wanting to be able to know who Christ is, for them people to be able to even get to Christ. People get in the way. A lot of times religious people, in this case, they were religious people that were getting in the way with all their traditions and all of their rituals. Is that, you know, I'm convinced, I've told you this, guys, this many times. I really believe that the Jesus that most people reject today is not even the Jesus of the Bible, but it's the version that they see, either have heard or seen in other people. You see, getting in the way. And I'm here to tell you, there's some people here today. There are people, as we found, there's a lot of people that are watching by way of internet. And understand this piece is that don't let anybody get in the way. Don't let anybody get in the way of you finding out who Christ is. Let me tell you a quick story. It's me. It's a personal story. I went to church, okay? I went to church all my life. And when you were growing up at the time in which I grew up, okay, I shared this part of this story at the dinner with the pastor. Okay? I share it there because I want new people to know a little bit about me, a little bit kind of what my passions are, what I get excited about, and a little bit about how I became a believer. So I share most of the rest of this story. You're not going to hear it all today, but I hear most of this at the dinner with the pastor. But I grew up going to church. And being from Tennessee, I grew up in a time where everybody went to church. If any of you grew up in the South, okay, Tennessee, Alabama, even northern Florida. If you grew up in the South at the time I did, everybody went to church. Now remember, that didn't mean that everybody was a believer, right? But there was a cultural expectation that you would go. So you had a lot of people go who didn't want to. I'd say as many as half, maybe more, that were there by coercion. But the cool part about now, the day in which we live, and here, more south of Florida, is that the reason most of you guys are here today is because you want to be here. That is refreshing, to be honest, knowing that you're out here because you want to be here and not because, you know, somebody, mama has an expectation on you or whatever. And so that is refreshing, but I do want to remember the time I grew up, that's what it was, but what happened was the church I grew up in as a kid, is like what I like to say about so many churches, is that whenever they get off task, now, we've already talked about what it means for a church to be on task. When a church is on task, they are being a light, okay? But whenever they get off task, it's incredible, they start looking around them, right? They don't look down the road, they start looking around them, and they just invariably almost start squabbling with one another. right? And that's what happened in the church I grew up in. My dad was an officer in the church. Now, he was a lay guy. He was an air traffic controller, actually. But he was kind of like a lay officer in the church. And he got caught in the middle of this fray. And it just got ugly. Real ugly. And it was stupid. I've had parents write me letters. You shouldn't say stupid in the pulpit. Well, listen to me. It was stupid. What they argued over was silly. Just stuff that didn't matter. And they got upset with one another. And people started leaving. And so there was a church split and bad blood and ugliness. And my dad got caught in the middle of it, and it bothered me to no end. And I was 16. Okay? And I want you to understand that I developed a real bad taste for anything that had to do with God or church because of this. Real bad taste. I got a heartbeat for those of you who have been burned in church-type situations because I know what it feels like. But I walked away from there. But see, I made a mistake, okay? I made a mistake that a lot of you in here have made, and I guarantee a lot of you who are watching at home on the internet, and perhaps you've made it and gotten over, or perhaps you're still there. But let me tell you the mistake that I made, okay? I equated who God is with how these people were acting. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I almost made it as an excuse, like, well, if that's who God is, I don't want him, right? But in reality, it was a lie that I believed. And so it turned to develop a real bitter taste. Or not just church things, but even for God. I was like, I don't want any part of that. But I want you to hear me say this. People were in the way of me being able to see who Christ was. Does that make sense to you? Guys, the absolute worst thing you can do is to get in the way. And they got in the way because they got their eyes off of what Christ had called them to do, and they started griping and complaining and murmuring and squabbling and, I'm going to say it one more time so I can get one more letter, stupid stuff. I mean, and it came down to the end, it just didn't matter. What they were squabbling about over a bus and over color of carpets and curtains and just stupid things. I said it again, I'm sorry. But I get real picked up here because I remember it as fresh as it was yesterday. And me just basically said, I remember it saying, gosh, no thank you. And so I immersed myself into sports. I'm here to tell you guys, there's lots of gods out there. God's little g. And all of us have them. All of us head towards something. That is the thing we're counting on. For me, it was sports. For others, it could be success, money, stuff, things, people, other people, friendships, relationships, whatever. Whatever it is you want to make is to be, that's what I'm going to count on. And so I threw it into sports. And that's what happened. I mean, and so I started doing those type things. But I basically discounted kind of all of who these of God was because of how these people were acting. Guys, the greatest thing we can do is be light and to let it shine and to not let anything get in the way of people seeing the light that is within us. But it's easy to happen. It happens real easy and it happens all the time. Whenever we get our eyes off of who he is and on ourselves, usually, that's when problems begin, right? And all of a sudden people can't see who Christ is because we've got a lampshade over, right? We've got a bucket, as it says, we talked about a few weeks ago, over the light. So anyway, so you have these people were in the way. Well, these friends were not going to let these people be in the way. Which brings us to the next is called, I'm going to call it determined. They were just determined. Determination. These four buddies, they'd come all that way, and they were not going to let these people get in the way of their friend getting to Jesus. So what did they do? Well, let's take a look at it. Verse 4, and they could not get near him because of the crowd, and they removed the roof above him, and they made an opening, And they let down the bed of the paralytic on which the paralytic lay. So this guy was on a stretcher, this bed, whatever it was. And so they said, hey, guys, follow me. I got an idea. And so they climb up on the roof. And you have to remember, it was a thatch-type roof. And if you understand the area, I've been there, it was made out of clay or a hardened soil with straw. And it's real, obviously the sun's real bright, real hot there. And so it became that kind of a roof. So if you, it's like digging in real dry dirt. And so they dug out a hole. Now, all the pictures and movies have this big wide hole where they, you know, they let him down in some dignified horizontal manner. More than likely, it was a hole like this, and they put him in feet first. Does that make sense? I mean, let's get honest. It probably wasn't real dramatic, and like the movies and the shit. It was probably just because I don't want to cut. I mean, it takes too long to get that long to put him down that way. So we're going to shove him down. But it was a thought to where I will not let anything or anybody get in the way of getting my buddy to Christ. So at least he knows who Christ is, not all these people that are standing in the way. And so he puts him down through the hole, right? And he goes, and they let him down, and he comes out of the ceiling. I mean, it's a pretty cool story, all right? And Jesus looked up. He was amazed. In fact, you can take a look at it. He says he looks up, and he sees what? Their faith, not just the guy's faith, not just the guy who's paralyzed, not just the guy that needs him, but he sees the faith of those who brought him to Jesus. That's huge for you to see, for those of you who have ears to hear. You know that God can use your faith to bring someone else to him? Interesting. All right, we'll finish that up at the very end. And so Jesus was amazed. But my bet is there were lots of people who were upset. Why? Well, you had to dig a hole in the roof. Right? You know, this guy, the story ends well, but my bet is there are a handful that were upset that there was a hole in the roof. Guys, when you have your eyes on the wrong thing, it's amazing what you can get upset with. Is anybody hearing me? Are y'all just dead? Y'all got what I'm talking about. Let me give you for instance. I remember the first church I went to, I was the youth pastor, 26 years old, and I knew everything. All right? Any of you ever been there? You were 26 and you knew everything. Okay, good. I think some of you are not telling the truth. And so I went, and I was the student pastor, and I had a heart for these kids. I did whatever it took. I visited them at their schools. I'd go to their ball games. I did everything I could do. And I still love student ministry to this day. Anyway, but I remember there was this area in the church. We were in an old church, Savannah, Georgia. Old traditional buildings. In fact, if you've ever been to Savannah, old. And so, and I remember that we had the students that were back in this area, and the teenagers, that's what I was in charge of. And if you've ever had teenagers, y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, you walk in their room, it's like a bomb went off. Y'all know what I'm saying? It's just they're hard on things, whether it be whatever, you know, they're hard on things. And so when you have a group of them together, they're hard on a building. Scuffs on the wall. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Spills on the floor. But God began to really work. It was really neat. But there were a handful of people in that church that gave me such a hard time because of the scuffs on the wall and the spills on the floor. And it's so discouraging. Even though God was doing great things. But I want you to know, they were these people I'm talking about. They don't see that kids' lives are being changed. All they care about is the hole in the roof. Does that make sense? Guys, whenever we get our eyes off of the wrong, right thing and onto the wrong thing, it's amazing what we miss for those of you who have ears to hear. So when we think about determination and the people that you're praying for in your life, if you're a part of our church and you've been praying, there's a lot to learn from an example from the Bible of just walking through this malady, right? Friends, people in the way. Everybody's got a story. Well, you know, I went to church as a kid, and then they'll tell you some terrible story. And I don't know if I always believe them, but I have to be honest, I believe them most of the time. And getting out of the way and allowing people to see who Christ is and understand what that means. So determination, these guys were determined. Number five is what I'm gonna call salvation, okay? Salvation. Now you're gonna see the story end here, okay? And you're gonna see Jesus make the parallel that I've kind of been making all along. Let's take a look at it. Look at the end of verse five again. Okay, so basically they dug a hole and they lowered the guy down, and Jesus looked up and he saw the paralytic guy. He saw their faith and the guy who was paralyzed. And he makes this statement. Now, try to picture yourself there. You're standing inside, or you're at a window where you can look and you see this guy come out of the ceiling, and you know something cool is about to happen. Man, when you were around Jesus at this time and a paralyzed guy came up, or somebody who was blind or whatever, you were ready to watch because you knew the show was about to begin. And so this guy comes down. They'd gone to all this effort. They'd traveled all this way holding, you know, carrying this guy. They dug the whole roof, which was going to cost them. They had to pay for the roof. And he'd come down in front of Jesus, and they were just waiting for Jesus. And what does Jesus say? Your sins are forgiven you. And don't you know, they probably all were like, Jesus, that's great, but that's not why we're here. You do realize, Jesus, that he's paralyzed. I mean, we're glad that his sins are forgiven. Yeah, but. And so I think everybody is like disappointed, like, oh. But I want you to see what Jesus is meaning by this. This is not just Jesus being insensitive and then not knowing what's going on, but it's him trying to explain something to us that he wants you and I to understand. And here's the picture. Son, your sins are forgiven. Which brings us to the salvation part. Take a look at verse 6 now. And then some of the scribes, those are religious leaders. They're very intelligent, highly educated for their day. Now the scribes were sitting there and they were questioning in their hearts. Let me tell you what. You don't talk to yourself in front of Jesus because he hears you. And this is what's happening here, right? And now some of the scribes were sitting there and questioning themselves, and he says, why does this man speak like that? So they're here to check Jesus out, you know? They kind of heard about him. They want to know about him. And they said, they begin thinking to themselves, why is he talking like that? And they make the statement, he's blaspheming, because who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus perceived what they were thinking, okay? And what they were questioning within themselves. And he asks them, he says, why do you question these things in your hearts? And then he asks them a question. And I want you guys to not answer this out loud, but I want you to ponder this as he asked them, and be honest, if you were there at the time or even here today, I want you to think this, right? Look at this. Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or rise up, take your bed, and walk? Don't answer it. But it's easier to tell somebody. Let me tell you what's easier. Your sins are forgiven is what we think is easier, because you can't really prove if it happened. Does that make sense? It's kind of like if I stand up here, you know, Lord forbid, but if I stand up here and say, oh, I bless all of you. Well, you don't know if you're blessed or not, but you thank me for the sentiment. So in other words, it's saying things that can't really be proven, but they're really nice. The thing that's harder to say is rise up, take your bed, and walk. Because that takes something to do that. But I'm here to tell you that what Jesus was meaning here, he says, it's harder to say your sins are forgiven if they truly are. Because if you forgive someone's sins, it changes their life for an eternity. So that's the harder one to be able to say and truly be able to come through, right? Is it not? I mean, you heal this guy's, you know, this guy's paralyzed. He'll live another 30, 40 years, maybe more, but he's going to die. So it's a temporary fix. I mean, not trying to be light, but you know what I'm talking about. It's just temporary. So what Jesus was trying to get them, because he knew they were all disappointed, right? But he says, I want you to know that what's happened in this man's life is a lot more important than him just being able to walk again. And yet it's so easy to get fixated on the temporal, isn't it? The physical. That's why Jesus is making the parallel between the physical and the spiritual. He says, keep your eyes on the thing that matters. That's why I've been talking what I've been saying. It's so easy to get your eyes off of things that matter on the things that really don't. Believers, hear me. Look at me, believers. Do you know how easy it is? It's like a child with a shiny toy. It is so easy to get a believer off, get his eyes off of the right thing and on things that don't matter. And I'm talking to myself. I just want you to hear me. But Jesus, this is the reason Jesus is bringing this all up. Because what does he do? He says, well, obviously, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. All right, so in other words, I'm going to do this miracle, this temporary miracle for this guy, so that all of you will know that I have the authority to do the eternal, which is to forgive sins. So he looks at this guy. And he says, I tell you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And the guy gets up, right? And immediately picks up his bed and he goes out before them all. And they were all amazed. Glorified God saying, we've never seen anything like this before. And yet every one of them in the room missed the biggest miracle of all. This man's eternity was changed. Yeah. Say he was a young man, 20, 30. The average lifespan there was around 60. He would live about another 30 years. And my bet is in eternity right now, he doesn't even think about walking those 20 or 30 years. All he thinks about was Jesus did to him that really mattered. And yet everybody in the room celebrated this miracle. And nobody celebrated that one. I just want you to see it. Right? You know, it's like the old pastor, old preacher of old yesteryear said, we spend more time praying to keep saints out of heaven than we do praying to keep sinners out of hell. Right? We prayed for their diseases so that God don't take them home now, right? When the real prayer is what you've got been praying for friends, if you've been following along with us. It's who he's called us to be. It's powerful, isn't it? It's powerful what Jesus is trying to say here. And yet it's so easy to miss it when you just skim through the little story. Things to learn quickly, because I have a story I'd like to end with. Number one, everyone has this malady. Everybody in the room is a sinner. You know, I always, because it's getting popular today, especially among the academic world, that there's no such thing as sin or that most of us aren't sinners. But in reality, my bet is the only person who has ever said that sin doesn't exist have never had children of their own. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you ever had children of your own, you know what sin is. Little liar, you know? Just sit there. I mean, they're a little kid. It can be a cookie. It can be anything. Just, and they have to be trained. Why? Because that's in us, right? But number two, there are those, and this one just so convicts me, but I want you to hear it. Do you realize that there, if you're a believer, there are those in your life that they can't get to Jesus without your help? Guys, that is what the Light series is all about. That's why we're here. That's why God has put us here. Don't get your eyes off onto other things. Now, yes, we need to do other things that minister to other people. I get that. But the reason we exist is to be light. Right? Let's not get off track. Number three, don't let others get in your way. If you're not a believer here today, you're watching by internet, let me tell you what. Do not allow other people to get in your way. If you have people in your life that you're longing and praying for, don't let others get in their way. because that's not who God is just because people are acting that way. Number four, the malady was healed by Jesus. That makes sense. Both. And then number five, notice that the friend's faith had something to do with their friend's salvation. I find that remarkable. Don't you? I do. That God could use the faith of someone else to make a difference. I don't know. Just as amazing, because he looked up and saw their faith. As I close today, I want to close with my story because it kind of symbolically goes with this one. Because guys, when I all that ugliness happened, I kind of walked away, turned away from God, and I immersed myself into sports. And I'm going to go through this quickly. I immersed myself in sports, playing football. When I say sports, I didn't really play anything else. That was the game I could play. I guess I had a hard head. I have no idea. But through a series of events, I had three surgeries and then couldn't play anymore. And that's when everything kind of took a downhill spiral, really. It's the joke I tell at dinner with the pastor, is that when you're going downhill, you can make great time. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You can make great time. And so again, bad choices, stupid things. I was in my early 20s, and I ran into, through a series of events, I ran into a girl from high school that I'd known in high school. She was a believer. She was a true believer. Got to remember, guys, I was in Tennessee. Everybody would have called themselves a Christian. We didn't know what a Muslim was, and we really didn't know what an atheist was, but we had a lot of Jewish people, so you were either Christian or Jewish. That was just something you were. That you called yourself. We would have all called ourselves Christians, but she was one, right? She actually lived what she said she believed. And she used to talk to me about Christ every day. She had me 5 minutes a day for my entire senior years. We walked from one class to another. Well, she used to, she was okay. I thought she was a little strange, right? I thought she went a little overboard with this Jesus stuff. You know, we're all kind of, you know, Tennessean Christians, you know? But anyway, we graduated, and I went my own way, and I hadn't seen her for years. Well, through a series of events, I bumped back into her years later, and it was just so good to see her. It wasn't Martha, my wife, by the way. It'd have been a cool story if it had been, but it wasn't her, right? And so she said, Jeff, I went to a Christmas musical. Guys, that's what this holiday season's about, giving you opportunities like Dorothy had in my life of inviting me. But I went to this Christmas musical, and I don't even like, I'm not a musician guy. I don't know much about music, but music reaches people, and it reached a guy who's not even a musical guy. And so I saw her at this musical. She was singing in it, and I talked to her afterwards, and she looked at me, and she hugged me. I mean, there was never anything romantic. She just was a believer, and she was just being light, and she invited me to go to church. I find it amazing that there was probably only one church, one person on the planet that could have asked me to go to church, and I would have said yes. And it was her, because she'd earned the right. And I would have felt bad to tell her no. Does that make sense? And so I said yes. The only person I would have said yes to, I said yes. Show up at church, and there's this guy up here talking, and he's explaining everything in ways I can understand. Finally, everybody was out of the way, and I heard the message. I found out who Christ was, not what all this other gobbledygook was in front. And a few months later, I kept coming back, and I put my faith and trust in Christ. But I want you to hear this. Thank God. Thank God for a girl in high school who brought me. I wouldn't have come on my own. I was like the paralyzed guy on the mat. If it was up to me, I'd have never gone. There aren't many days that I go by, perhaps let's call it weeks, there aren't many weeks that go by that I don't thank God for a high school girl who was a college girl at the time, or past college at the time, who asked me and seen her in years. I'm forever grateful. She didn't change my life. She just got me to the person who could and got everybody else out of the way to where I could actually hear it. Keep praying, guys, for those people in your life. You never know that years later they may come back into your life like what happened in this situation, but I will forever be grateful for a high school girl who was being light, right? It's who we're supposed to be. And when we allow things that don't matter to take the place, we dim the light and people can't see. And we be one of those who gets in the way. All right, let's get ourselves out of the way. Because when it comes to it, we really don't matter, right? Boy, that goes against our culture here in America. It's all about him and his light. That's what this series is all about. Looking forward to it because this coming Christmas time, that's what we're going to be doing. You've been praying for those people in your life, and we're just going to give you opportunities because for the weeks of the holiday season, all we're going to do in here on Sundays is just share the simple gospel in a way that everybody can understand with illustrations. And then the holiday time is usually the easiest time to explain it. And just give you the opportunity to bring people in your life, right? Like this friend of mine brought me. Like these four friends brought their buddy. Just give you that opportunity. And so that's what kind of this fall has been about, all right? Looking forward to it. Let's all stand. We'll have a closing word of prayer. David, come on up. Close us in prayer. Good to see you guys today. And I'll have another message like this, similar, next week. Charlie will be here in 2 weeks, and it'll kind of have the same feel to it. So looking forward to as we headed into the holiday season. God bless you.